well. Good evening, audio mowers. Is that a bit? I'll turn myself up here. It's day four of Audio Mow. My name is all one word. How are you keeping? It's quite late now. It's 20 past 10. My wife and I have just watched episode 5, which is technically the final episode, although there's an episode 6. I think that's kind of a summary of things that happened on the TV show, the reality TV show, The Island with Bear Grylls. Now, Graham, Black 73 Cat, has talked about this in a couple of audio boos. However, initially I kind of dismissed it as, oh, look at these useless people, what are they doing? They haven't got a clue. Not professing to know any more myself, with the exception that I kind of would be building a shelter, be building a fire, be gathering food before going for a swim in the sea. I actually thought it was really good. I've really enjoyed it, actually. I think they did get across very well that these men who were dropped on a 13 men from differing backgrounds and differing ages, from their early 20s up to 70 years old, were dropped on this island in the Pacific Ocean with 3 bushcraft knives and 3 machetes. And that was it. Oh, and a couple of head torches as well, but you know, but nothing else apart from that. So they had to build, catch, do everything themselves in order to survive. The plastic bottles were washed up on the beach. There was actually a lot of debris washed up on the beach.
How convenient.
Well, no, I think there were lots and lots. There was lots washed up on the beach. And sadly, that is the case. I know somebody who's been to one of these abandoned islands and they said the beach was just covered in rubbish, which is quite sad, really. Anyway, so doing a bit of internet research there. Bear Grylls and a production team have been slammed so much, even though at the end of that episode 5, there's the advertisement to apply for the next series. And earlier on today, Channel 4 announced that they've had 40,000 applicants for the next series. So, and to be honest, if I wasn't in the mode of employment that I was in, I'd go for it. I'm really interested in that kind of thing. However, one of the main things that the Bear and also the production staff were getting smashed for was that it was fake, or there were fake things in it. I say that the latest news was, there were actually 4 of the 13 men who were trained survival square brackets experts. I don't believe they were experts at all. And what it did really reveal that was that the chap named Rupert had a lot to do with Bear Grylls productions in the past, and also Kiff, the fella who has only got one hand and a kind of augmented hook on the other. Kiff was also a sound recordist on Bear Grylls, as one of Bear Grylls' previous productions. Well, actually, if you look at the end credits for The Island, I think it's like the 4th person who scrolls up the screen, sound recordist Kiff McManus. Well, that's Kiff in the production. So the thing is. These stories that are available to view on the internet are that certainly these 2 named people are have got experience of living in the wild. Well, not surviving. You know, I don't doubt. I mean, I think they did a bit of a cutaway with Kiff to, you know, kind of show what background he came from, insofar as employment. They showed him in Afghanistan helping interview British soldiers. I don't think that qualifies you to survive on an island, to be honest. Even if, as a kind of media person, you have some kind of training to react to kind of any kind of situations that would happen in Afghanistan. So I don't think there's any parity there whatsoever. And certainly, you know, the fella Rupert, same kind of thing, really. I don't think there's any parity from what he's done in the past to what they underwent for a month on this deserted island in the Pacific. So whilst they say that four survival experts were embedded deliberately, I don't believe that whatsoever, because I think that the quality of life for the group on the island would have been a lot better indeed if they'd shown more signs of their abilities as in raised commas their survival experts. So that's a load of tosh. But I did enjoy it. It's a very, very good social experiment. And if anybody can remember and cast their mind back to the very first series of Big Brother, there was actually only meant to be one series, and it was actually advertised as a social experiment to see how these very carefully handpicked from the, you know, these volunteers or people wanting to do it, how these very carefully picked people would react with one another in a house, effectively creating Stockholm Syndrome and seeing how they would get on with it. Unfortunately, it became a monster, and it shouldn't have actually gone past bloody series three, after which I stopped watching it because it was just a load of tosh. However, it was very, very interesting to see how these 13 men reacted with each other under the most extreme conditions of, you know, very hot temperatures and humidity, and hunger more than anything else. They certainly would discuss on camera, they filmed each other. They certainly discussed on camera things that they were experiencing at the time, you know, what hunger was doing to them. But there was, I didn't really grasp how, you know, I don't think there was anything obvious on screen other than the fact that they'd lost a lot of weight. You know, so that was the only other thing, really. The obvious always happens, and that's a split in a group. That will happen, you know, at any time, really. It doesn't, you don't need to starve someone to put them on a desert island to cause a split in any group. That doesn't need to happen. That will happen naturally. And what was actually interesting was in the show today, they recognised themselves that there was becoming a bit of a split in the group, and I can't remember his name, he's a director, he's very, very, very clever, very well-spoken chap. He says, right, what I think we should do is democratically elect a leader. And then this Rupert fella, who's an argumentative bugger, in fact, in every stage of the game, he just argue pathetically, but trying to get his point across that he didn't want a leader. Anyway, he was kind of overruled. And so they democratically elected a leader. And it's quite strange that they all, well, all bar Rupert, who was a bit of a misnomer, really. And he admitted himself they had a problem with authority ever since he was a child. But they all recognised the fact that they needed someone to effectively lead. Effectively, they wanted a leader. They wanted a leader. So that was good. Albeit, of course, excuse me. Albeit, of course, they recognised the fact that they were hungry. That there were certain things that needed doing every day. Everybody should be motivated, but also they should have some downtime. That, you know, that was kind of what was discussed. So they elected a leader, and it looked to be a very successful thing that happened. So What they actually did in this last program was they shifted through the last 7 days very quickly. He didn't really get a sense of it being their last days on the island until, you know, the kind of last 15 minutes of the program where they were preparing to leave. So all in all, I enjoyed it very much. And I would like to see, I'd like to see more of that thing. I find it interesting. I find it fascinating because, you know, at every stage of the game, I'd think, well, what would I do? What would I be doing? What would I decide? And effectively, there's all these extenuating circumstances which would have a massive impact on a decision and on the decision making process. I expect hunger would play the biggest part, of course. Anybody who's been in the situation where you're starving, you can't think straight. You know, even you know normally if you're sitting in your excuse me, this is what sinusitis does for you. Even if you're sitting in your office and you really need to get this project finished on the computer, and so you have a cup of coffee in the morning, and the next thing you know, you're finding yourself, oh, I can't concentrate, and it's 6 o'clock at night. You've had nothing to eat. And, that's it on a very basic level, but it's true. Hunger is the drive in a lot of circumstances. So, yeah, it was very interesting to see. And, you know, I expect it's going to be a year before we see the next one. But Bear Grylls himself at the minute is getting a huge bashing anyway. It's this constant battle between Bear Grylls and Ray Mears. And, you know, each one of those characters, each one of those individuals is good for what they do in separate ways. You know, Bear Grylls is very much a showman, I would like to say. And Ray Mears is very practical, down to earth, very realistic. I mean, they are the main differences between those two. Very, very well educated in survival. Gentlemen. So, that was that. They're my thoughts. That's my recording for Audio Mo. As my wife telling me to shut up in bed. You shut up. I'll get you. Goodbye, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow. All one word. One word. Out. Out.